Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM, heard every Saturday, 12.05 p.m. to 1.30 p.m. If I hit all the right stoplights. Crypto markets fall in the beginning of the week, only to rally at the end. And still waiting on a Bitcoin ETF? Well, you can try a Bitcoin ETN. A Wall Street Report says cryptocurrency trading fees are exploding, but it may be too late to challenge Coinbase. And semiconductor manufacturer NVIDIA says the market for cryptocurrency mining chips has disappeared. But it's a little bit light in the studio today, but we still have a great crew with us here today. And starting right from the, across from me and working our way around. And, of course, who else would the financial woman do but blockchain CPA Kara Haas? Kara, thank you for overcoming everything going on this week and being here, as usual, before me, promptly opening up everything, well-prepared. What else can I say?
So good to be here, Henry.
And glad to see you. And also, of course, we also have... And coming through there on the microphone, he's not the contrarian. I don't even call him the lunatic. He's the perennial. And he's here every week. Good afternoon, Augie. Thanks for being here.
Good afternoon. It is afternoon, Henry. And there is a foreboding in the Bitcoin future, I'm afraid.
There is?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't anybody, I didn't get the memo or the facts or even
well,
the email
I watched
or
the, there was an actual argument, a serious argument on CNBC with Paul Harris, former CEO for PayPal.
I saw that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he doesn't know. He's just...
He doesn't know what he's talking about, right?
Well, he's got a vested interest in PayPal becoming the, well, it already is a dominant force and staying the dominant force. So he doesn't want something like Square that is encouraged... Bitcoin transactions and other alternatives to PayPal, which I can't say it's faded, but it, as far as downloads off the iTunes, what the Play Store. I'm an Android guy, so I have those terms aren't at my fingertips.
App Store.
Yes. Oh, what's the Android?
It may be the same, but we call it the App Store on iTunes.
I just press the button on my phone and go there. Anyway, the Square has exceeded the PayPal downloads, and there's a lot going on in that space. But appreciate the fact that Augie's there monitoring the situation for us, being sure to bring any of the contrarian thoughts to us.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he's no longer the CEO of PayPal, so... He made a different prognostication, and he was in a genuine argument. If you saw the whole thing, I suppose you know that.
Well, of course, our audience didn't, but so they appreciate you bringing it up. And also, conspicuous in the absence, Goldbug1, a.k.a. Andy, he's on a mission today, but he'll be, well, not really back next week, because reminding you right now that... The next two Saturdays will be recorded shows. We won't be live in the studio.
You'll be in England, huh?
I will.
Yeah.
I don't know where you guys will be, but well,
somewhere in the atmosphere.
Yeah. In the ether.
Well, maybe it's the ether too. Who knows?
So, all right. So, but yes, I will be gone for a couple of weeks, but we plan on doing some recorded shows. Some, I believe Mark Principato, the other co-founder of SeekingCryptos.com with Andy, will be in town. We're going to try and record a show with them, and I'll have to come up with something for the following Labor Day weekend. And then we'll be back hitting the ground running, and I guess everybody will be back in the studio for the 7th.
I may or may not. Depends on the situation. I may be traveling for a couple of weeks myself. So.
Oh, wow. I guess we'll see whoever we see.
Exactly. Never know what's going to happen in our...
It depends on... I may choose not to go. It's something that I'm not sure I want to attend.
Is it in the state or out of the state?
It's actually all into Canada. So.
Are you defecting?
No, no, I'm recommending seceding, but that's another matter.
What, you're going to go up to Ontario and recommend they secede from Canada?
No, I want them to welcome a secession from states of the Union to become part of Canada, yeah.
All right, well, we'll stay tuned to see how that mission goes.
I've got news for you.
Well, that's something.
Well, one of the reasons that I was late coming around the corner to the studio is because Bitcoin decided to make one of its amazing moves right in the last hour as I'm getting out of the shower and trying to get ready to come to the show.
It rhymes.
What?
The last hour I got out of the shower. It rhymes.
Okay. That may change in post-production, too.
That's the beauty of post-production. The people who listen live really do get quite the treat.
All right. So, anyway, the story was going to be...
I thought you were going to announce a wrestling match between two coins. I mean, you have that background, Henry.
Yeah. Well, no, it was a wrestling match between two stories. So, last night, and this, I usually wait until the morning to do this. But it was 1:30 at night. I was running a little bit late. And so I figured, well, I'll just plug in this story. It's been on a trend for the last 3 or 4 days, which is always the thing to know why you shouldn't do something with Bitcoin. If it's been 3 or 4 days, that's like forever. So something's about to change. Anyway, at the beginning of the week, Bitcoin took a tumble. I think on Monday, maybe that was the CNBC day that everybody was talking about crypto chaos. Bitcoin tested the previous low right under 5,900, and everybody was sad. And then it came bouncing back on a steady uptrend until yesterday, where it got as high as $6,600.20 or $20. Let me try that again. Wow. I'm not cleaning all this stuff up in post-production. I will be next week. Before
why
the
would you
because
then.
You did so much of my prep work for me this week. We need to admit that. You
no,
did do quite a bit
no,
of my work.
That was the easiest part. I just look at your thoughts, and I just find the copy and paste to put in there. No, $6,620 was where it topped out again, just like it had previously in the month before. And then, you know, I look at my phone at about, I don't know what it was, you know, 9:15-ish, and, you know, it's trading 6,520s, right back in the uptrend, the trending channel there. Where is Andy when you need him to talk this technical stuff, technical analysis
stuff? You're doing a good job.
But
then,
you're doing fine, yeah.
So then I put my phone down, which you should never put your phone down for more than a couple minutes at a time. I understand that. But I put it down for almost a whole half hour. And then I come back, and the Bitcoin has dropped about $150. It's bouncing off 6,300. Up there, the low 6,300s. I'm like, oh, gosh, now I got to go find an article about this. And, of course, none of the news media that I scan is quick enough putting their articles up as we are right here, because almost everything revolves around this show every Saturday in crypto world. And so I very much at the last 20 minutes before, considering drive time, this comes in. Bitcoin price today tumbled 2% against the dollar, confirming a weak push by the bulls in the current bearish bias. The Bitcoin U.S. dollar continued to extend its prevailing upside momentum, breaking above what I all just said. Anyway, hit the same peak as it did around August 15th, pulled back. And so what they're saying now is, I'm sure Andy would probably confirm this if he were here, is that they're looking at support at $6,348, and if it breaks below $6,255, the recent reversal has been reversed again, and we'll probably be testing the lows again. So who knows what will happen before this show closes, and I'll pick up my phone, because really, even when you're doing live radio,
I've got it.
Well, right. Are you on CoinMarketCap?
Yep.
I'm on CryptoCompare. You tell us.
Fantastic. I'm looking at 6388.
Oh, I'm looking at 6340. I like your total better. What do you have it?
I've got a switcher, right?
Do you have Ethereum?
287.
I got 287 on that, too.
Arbitrage. It's Tether. It's all the Tether that moved into the Bitfinex exchange. It was like $292 million.
Where did that come from?
Omni Explorer. Previous printing days, but they moved it.
So
they didn't print anything new, but from August 11th to August, I think yesterday, it looked like they
print,
moved.
You mean create digital files
so
for
it
Tether?
Was, right, but like creating, new, like when we say Tether's printing, they're minting new coins, and nobody can necessarily keep track of the ones coming back in if they ever come back in at all.
Because
for
we're not talking about the future of currency with 500-year-old metaphors. That's just how we roll here.
Maybe
no,
older.
I'm not pointing it out to his car. That's how it's talked about.
Exactly.
We're printing Tether. So, and you really are printing it out of nothing.
Literally printing it out of nothing. Well, they didn't literally. They literally printed days ago, typically about 5 days before month end, they usually do. But they had a stockpile, the total circulating supply.
Tether has a monthly cycle.
Oh, Henry. Oh, Henry. That's so bad.
It's very true. Ooh. Oh, my gosh, I can completely support it. It right. definitely, and yeah, and the study, I mean, they really do have a monthly cycle where when it gets time for their reporting period, they need to print Tether 5 days in advance.
You see what you're encouraging.
Yes. Right? Yeah. I got to go with the flow here today.
It's a menstrual flow, right?
But rather than doing that,
you're throwing subtlety out the door.
Well, Hal, your intimations are so obvious, so you had to.
Rather than printing Tether, though, when you take a look at the circulating supply, what's currently in circulation versus the total supply, they still have difference of, I think, 30 million.
So I'm sure.
Or 300 million, 30 million.
There's nothing to doubt about Tether because so many other experts, like former FBI directors, have Louis Free has said, you know, it's a straight up above the board thing, and you can always trust what a former FBI director says. So, what if there's $290 million of Tether printed? Does that mean that you should think that there's a real $290 million of fiat U.S. dollars put into a bank account somewhere?
That's what they would like you to believe. They definitely do, and they are, according to Louis Free, that's what's happening. I definitely do not believe that, along with many of the academics in the field attempting to research this, because of all the leverage out there. And when people redeem, when they sell, not the same amount of Tethers are coming back for redemption. And this time, rather than...
Wait, you got to explain it. So let's just keep it around easy numbers. You say that again, but just talk like in 100 or 1,000
so
I can keep my head around the number.
Say that I print 100 Tether because I'm going to introduce
equal
those into circulation. $100.
Right.
I want to put that into circulation.
Okay.
In theory, the only reason I should be printing more Tether is because I have some people who have turned
Tether
$100
into a real bank.
Right, and that's come back in. So that is not happening. The numbers aren't there, but a lot of it is because one of the theories is because of the leverage and margin going out there in the markets that you can have naked shorts and naked long positions, and I think that they're actually allowing you.
So are you saying that because some places allow 50 or 100 times margin, that, you know, I don't understand what you're saying. Say that.
So what I think is, and I could be wrong, I mean, but what I think is happening is if you don't have dollar for dollar coming back and forth and people are out there trading on margin, the only reason that they would need to introduce more Tether into the system is because there aren't enough dollars backing
it
up.
Okay, so let me see if I understood it this time. you take your $10 of Tether and you margin it, and all of a sudden you got $100 of profit and you want to turn it back into Tether, therefore you need more Tether in the system?
That's what I think one of the possibilities is, for, because there's definitely more, I believe there's more Tether circulating in the system than there are dollars to back it up.
Okay.
Because, and I don't know if that's exactly the best way to explain how it...
The person, I'm sure Louis Free would tell us, though, that when that $10 that became $100 of Tether is converted back into Tether, they're going to get $90 of U.S. dollars to put into a bank account to cover it.
But where's the transaction happening to convert it back into Tether?
Well, you'll have to ask Louis Free that.
I don't think that I think that's a transaction that's missing from the data. And so what's happening on top of it is they didn't print this time, but there were like, over 290 million that they moved into Bitfinex
holding. No, I think you're on to something here.
Okay.
Let me just say it again. So, because, or glossed over some people probably lost that, and someone that way back when Bitcoin wasn't even invented, someone who mentored me on Talk Road Radio said, tell somebody what you're going to tell them, then tell them, and then tell them again. So let's tell them again. So we have a margin account at a cryptocurrency exchange, which means if I put $10 in, I can buy $100. Now, if the $100 of currency, whatever it was that I bought, goes down to $50, I'm stuck, and I got to come up with the difference. That's one thing that happens when you're on margin, or it'll be taken out of my account somewhere else. On the other hand, if I take that $10 and I buy $100 of something and I make the profit, say that $100 goes to $200 of currency, I then sell that off and I put $100 of Tether back. I take that, I make my profit.
Mm-hmm.
Let me set aside your profit. I take $10 because the exchange allows me to buy 10 times what I put into the exchange. That $10 of Tether allows me to buy $100 of Bitcoin. Bitcoin doubles. You don't hear that much anymore. Bitcoin doubles and becomes worth $200. I then convert that to Tether. Because I'm margined 100, the exchange gets the 100 back, but I still have $100 of profit.
Correct.
And now it's all in Tether. Now I want to take the Tether back. All of a sudden, where that Tether is now in a system that was not closed, because all of a sudden now 10 is in it. If I had had 10 U.S. dollars and I margined it for 100 and it became worth 200, then when I cashed out, it would be simple because it would just be $100. But now it's 100 Tether. Of course, if it was $100, it would be backed by the full faith of the U.S. government and the Treasury. Now I've got $100 of Tether that didn't exist before, and it's backed by the full faith of Tether.
Tether.
And now in all the stories that we've ever done about, Tether's never been audited, Tether's never been audited, this has never been brought up in any of the stories I've read. Not until financial woman Kara Haas, blockchain CPA, a.k.a. blockchain CPA, Kara Haas.
who really does specialize in audit and financial statement audits and really has taken exception to some of the coverage. And I agree that, and I do have a post that has been in draft forever to explain what a financial statement audit is, because there was a lot of confusion when Louis Free with...
A report, not an audit.
Correct. And
did the report go? Did you read the report?
It didn't mean much to me because it truly was not an audit. What I ended up reading were several news stories that just said it's not exactly an audit or it's not a full audit. It's not an audit at all.
The reports of the report said is they said this is how much Tether there is. Look how much dollars are in our bank account.
Mm-hmm. But
that's just a snapshot.
That's definitely just a snapshot. And the only thing that they're, what I believe that they're looking at when they do that is they're looking at coin market cap, whatever the reported circulating supply is out there, which I don't know that the circulating supply, that we can have faith in what that is.
Okay. All right. Well, we've gone on a digression here.
Yes, we have.
And coming up at 12:45-ish, we're going to have Joshua Sands, who is a cryptocurrency tax consultant, and he's in the Sarasota area, and he'll be joining us with a lot of other questions. Maybe we will get into this with him. I don't know. I'm sure we're going to get into a lot of other questions about taxes and cryptocurrency. We're going to go to a break, and we want to come back and try and catch up because Coinbase was in the news a lot this week. And also some not just trouble tokens this week with Carajas, some trouble in the stock market, too. You're listening to The Henry Raine Show.
Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Bite Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Bite Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Bite Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Bite Federal ATM near you. Go to BiteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's BiteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on The Henry Raine Show.
There's a new way to experience wellness. Hi, I'm Laura Alcover, owner and operator of Alcover Massage. We're the first business in Bradenton's Village of the Arts to accept cryptocurrency. Whether you use Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, or Litecoin, you can now pay for quality massage therapy using cryptocurrency at Alcover Massage. So if you seek medical massage or a relaxing session with light pressure, your session will be conducted by a talented therapist. You'll be glad you booked with us. Check out and like our Facebook page where you can book online in seconds. And remember to tell your friends. Give us a call, 941-592-3187. That's 941-592-3187. Alcover Massage. Quality massage therapy in your neighborhood. MA number 50525, MM number 34081.
Henry Raine Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Saturday, 12:05 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. You can get the podcast on many of your favorite podcast platforms, iTunes. Our biggest archive is on Podomatic.com. It's now embedded at SeekingCryptos.com, so you can get all your information in one location there, audio and your financial articles, including Goldbug One's Mark Principato, Carajas, and others. It seems as though all our talk about Tether has spooked the market. As I said, everything revolves around the show, and Ethereum has dropped, it looks like, about 2% since, yeah, it'd be about 2%.
Tether's 1.01. Tether's up.
And Bitcoin is nominally down, at least on my phone.
6385.
Yeah, so Bitcoin's holding steady, but we've spooked the Ethereum market. Well, what's going on with Coinbase? Well, quite a bit, actually. And it also speaks to the larger Wall Street market. To set this up just a little bit, though, one of the big stories this week, because we followed, Augie's not the only perennial in the studio. The story about the Bitcoin ETF seems to be a perennial story here. Bitcoin ETF was a big story in 2018 in the crypto space, but there is a product that already exists. We've seen the ups and downs in Bitcoin pricing as the ETF looks like it's coming, gets rejected, it gets postponed by the SEC, and there's already a similar market, and now it's available in the U.S. Nine companies have applied to the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission to operate a Bitcoin exchange-traded fund in the U.S. stock market. The CBOE, VanEck, Bitcoin ETF is said to have the highest probability of being approved. But it's not entirely true that the investors can't get something similar. Since early last year, an ETN, which is an exchange-traded note, in Sweden, operated by Bitcoin XBT Provider, which is an abbreviation for Bitcoin Provider, has demonstrated a significant increase in volume, surpassing the volume. This is something to actually listen to, and it makes me wonder how big a deal it is that this is going to be, if there's going to be a Bitcoin ETF in the U.S., surpassing the volume of 80% of exchange-traded funds in the U.S. So that means all these mutual funds that could be a sector fund, like the some company puts out a basket of financial stocks, or ARK Invest, which is a very forward-looking mutual fund company that specializes in artificial intelligence and medical things like gene splicing. They have funds that look for disruptive technology there. So they may have something that might have like a Tesla or an NVIDIA grouped together because they both are something that are going to be using artificial intelligence. So anyway, there's hundreds if not thousands of these exchange-traded funds that trade on Wall Street. And now they're saying in little old Sweden, there's a Bitcoin ETN that trades more than 80% of the exchange-traded funds in the U.S. Eric Balkunas, who is an ETF expert, I'm sure you all have heard of him, said on Twitter, which really makes it important, Sweden's Bitcoin ETN is now bigger and trades more than 80% of the U.S. ETFs. I think I've heard that somewhere. It hit 700 million in AUM. Is that like Swedish krona? Kronas?
Well, I don't even know that one. We need Goldbug here for that.
Yeah. Today, man. While trading $220 million this week, so I guess he converted it for us. He actually converted it in the statement, too, because $700 million in AUM or whatever it is $700 million, while trading $220 million this week. Don't want me doing your audit.
I let you do it all first, and then I come in.
This week, the same ETN mentioned opened in U.S. markets under the ticker CXBTF. Ryan Radloff, CEO of CoinShares, which oversees the operation of the ETN, said that the expansion to the U.S. is a monumental accomplishment. Given the current climate of regulatory front in the U.S., this is a big win for Bitcoin. Everyone that's investing in dollars can now get exposure to these products, whereas before they were only available in euros and Swedish krona. So last year, billionaire Mark Cuban, the owner of the NBA team Dallas Mavericks, and of course on Shark Tank, had an interview where he said he facilitated his first investment in Bitcoin via the ETN that we're talking about. He says, quote, "It's interesting because there are a lot of assets which their value is just based on supply and demand. Most stocks, there is no intrinsic value because you have no true ownership rights and no voting rights. You just have the ability to buy and sell those stocks. Bitcoin is the same thing. Its value is based on supply and demand. I bought some through an ETN based on a Swedish exchange. In a way, ETN provides similar liquidity and ability to investors in the U.S. market." So there's something about the ETN where an ETF would actually have ownership of the Bitcoin.
Correct. The ETN isn't backed. A note, it's unsecured, right?
Well, I don't know if there's some kind of insurance or security behind it, but it's pegged to the Bitcoin as opposed to actually owning the Bitcoin. And maybe it's backed by futures or Bitcoin futures or something like that. But, you know, put aside, like, if you owned 10 shares of Apple and think you have an important vote in the shareholder meetings, if you own a mutual fund, like if you own an S&P 500 mutual fund, you own the ETF, you don't own the shares of the stock directly. And I'm sure Goldbug one would take us on a much deeper look at that. Rushing a little bit, and what I think we'll do, and give a heads up to the guests if they happen to be listening online or over the airways, because they are in our area, we'll bring Joshua Sands on at 12:45, but we'll hit some of the topics on Kara's trouble token, aka stock report.
Excellent.
Because I want to get to the Coinbase stuff, because this all really ties into that. So we talked about the ETN and the volume on this ETN that was based in Sweden that's now available in the U.S. Well, Coinbase has had a couple of news developments, and then a major report out of a Wall Street firm has some interesting things to say about Coinbase. Coinbase recently filed a patent that aims to protect a secure method of buying goods and services. Found a way to create a payment channel that would let users make Bitcoin payments directly from their crypto wallets instead of using a third-party Bitcoin payment processing service like BitPay. BitPay, if a merchant has that, you pay with your Bitcoin, and it's handled through BitPay, the processor, and the merchant gets dollars almost immediately at whatever the current exchange rate is. It's locked in at that. Well, Coinbase's patent states that it may be a security concern for users to use their private keys of their Bitcoin addresses may be stolen from their wallets. Existing systems do not provide a solution for maintaining security. This is going to go on a while, and I'm going to condense this down. So now Coinbase is trying to come up with a means where you have Bitcoin. It doesn't necessarily on Coinbase's exchange. It's not necessarily held by Coinbase, but their system will allow you to take your Bitcoin or perhaps some of the other currencies that they use and pay just like you would if you were using BitPay. So if I were a CEO of BitPay, I would be a little bit worried about this development. Coinbase's payment software will allow other websites to create similar crypto payment portals through an API key. That's an application interface, right?
Yep.
Okay. The key will be designed to make payments safer by storing the key on the host server and on Coinbase's system. There's also some verbiage in here about the backups and how there's a master key so that we'll hopefully keep that feeling of when you've lost your private key and don't know where it is, that you will not have lost all your money. As I look over at the clock. So that ties in with a second announcement Coinbase made. And Toshi, the open source decentralized app browser and wallet designed by Coinbase, will now be known as Coinbase Wallet. So first story, we have Coinbase saying we can make payments to merchants or whomever in your crypto and whatever wallet you have. You can use our system to do it. And you can pay whoever you want, and they'll get dollars or euros or whatever it is. Second story is, yes, you can do this in any wallet you want, but let us tell you about the Coinbase wallet. So this is like having almost like having the Visa card and Visa, the processor. In a post published Wednesday, the company says the name change is beyond branding and more of, quote, a larger effort to invest in products. So they're going to have lots more products.
So this is a question I had, and maybe this was in the article and I missed it, or you may know this. So with Coinbase, we don't have they apparently have multiple levels of Coinbase now. Coinbase Consumer, I caught, or something. But
well, they have Coinbase Pro, which, thanks to you telling me about using that, GDAX, which is what Coinbase Pro used to be. I actually used Coinbase Pro this week.
Okay.
And
I haven't investigated it. Do you actually own your private key? Like, do you actually?
Oh, come on.
So that's... I mean, you know that I hammer on that.
I got my third-party authenticator on Google here.
I can get you a third-party authenticator for actually owning your keys. Like I've been hammering on a lot of people to get their crypto off the exchanges, and I would guess, I don't know if with Toshi, or formerly known as Toshi Wallet, you could
the
own
wallet,
Coinbase Wallet, a.k.a. formerly known as, that you actually have the ability to own your crypto, to have access to your private keys. That would be interesting. They definitely need to move in that direction.
Well,
because
well, let's see what they have to say here.
All right.
On security, Coinbase says the new wallet will be equipped with, quote, the best-in-class secure storage, which would secure private keys using your device's secure enclave with biometric authentication technology. So I would maybe interpret that, that they know what the key is, but you get your iris scan to use.
I highlighted that, so I did catch that as well, but nowhere do I actually say your private keys, your like, that's a lot of language there, but I never actually see explicitly your private keys.
Okay. Well, let me try to see if I can bring this in, circle closed here quickly so we can go to a break and get to our guest. So one of the things on this is I've seen in some of the quotes from Coinbase is because decentralization is so important to us. We want to be your central repository for all your decentralization. They didn't quite say it that way. Toshi was launched last year, inspired by mobile money apps like WeChat that drives a large volume of digital payments in China. So digital payment is a huge competitive field in China. Alibaba has their payment. WeChat is another one. I think that's probably backed by Tencent. Someone check me someday and I'll find out. But you have Baidu is trying to do theirs, and there's a fourth company in China. And you guess within you have a billion people, you can have a little bit more competition. Anyway, so Coinbase is making their move into this. Not only, so they've got the processing, now they've got the wallet, and then they want you to get used to using their digital payment system. The merchant has the processor, you have the wallet, just use it. All right, so what does that all mean when I said Wall Street? Cryptocurrency trading revenue is primed to explode within the near future, and Wall Street is running out of time if it hopes to stop industry giant Coinbase from gaining an indomitable market position.
It's indomitable.
Wow. Tomato, tomato.
No, not so.
I trust it means a lot.
Writing in the new report titled "Crypto Trading: The Next Big Thing Is Here?" Question mark. That's a way of, interesting way to name your report. Analysts at Sanford C. Bernstein and Company forecasted cryptocurrency trading revenue, exchanges the fees that are charged, could soar to $4 billion in 2018, despite that the gross trading volume has declined in recent months. So even while the price of Bitcoin has declined significantly, so that the dollar volume of what's being traded or the Tether volume of what's being traded is smaller, the exchanges are making more money than ever. And that's even with the competition between the numerous exchanges. One of the other things, if trading revenue does hit $4 billion, it will be an increase of more than 120% from last year when Bitcoin hit $20,000. The firm estimates the exchanges brought in a combined $1.8 billion last year. The Christian Ballou, the Bernstein analyst, says, as the crypto asset class, this is going to go on too long. Anyway, he's pointing to the dearth of regulated custodians. One of those things that we've talked about. He points out that the New York Stock Exchange is taking concrete steps to become a cryptocurrency marketplace because $4 billion is a lot of money to walk away from. And if they don't move quickly, Coinbase, who Bernstein estimates rates in approximately 50% of all trading revenue, in other words, $2 billion this year, just in the revenue from the exchange, between its brokerage and professional exchange platforms, Coinbase Pro, now boasts twice as many users as Schwab. Sorry, Augie. could achieve an unassailable competitive position that even the largest players on Wall Street will not be able to overcome. And just wait till they become the processor for the merchant and you get your wallet from them and you do all your transactions outside of an exchange through Coinbase. It'll be a good day, won't it? Get that IPO. All right. Well, we are right up a little bit late. Let's go to a break, and we'll come back with Joshua Sands.